Good morning, everybody. It's a great pleasure to be here and in the same spirit than the exhibition you can enjoy over here. Today, my talk is structured around demonstration and game with you. So I'm going to need your brain and your attention. So I'm going to show you how good your visual system is and how bad your visual system is. And I hope that the demonstration today will give you insight about some of the fundamental mechanisms your brain is using in order to see and interpret the visual world. And the mechanism and the illusion demonstration today are related to how your brain will be seeing holographic three-dimensional images or any images that may change interpretation in an unexpected way. So, let's start with the first demonstration. We have a lot of knowledge about the world, and we use this knowledge all the time. This is unconscious to you. You see with your brain more than with your eyes, in a way. So, let's look at this video. It's extremely blurry, but you can get and interpret what's going on. It's just a normal day at the office, and my colleague is working at his computer. All right? Nothing. Well, in many situations, the brain sees more and wants to see more than what is in reality in the world. So let's look now at the high resolution image video. Yes, as you can see, the objects are not really what they seem to be earlier. Here is the normal day at work. Thank you. Enjoy it. Hope you enjoy it. And so, here is the thing. You see with your mind and with your experience. And this is a type of cognitive illusion. So the visual system is confronted with the task, the complicated, the very difficult task of interpreting the 3D world, putting meaning to it, and just behaving normally, understanding what's going on, the event, faces of people, friends. And to solve this task, we make hypotheses and assumptions. And this helps to reduce the number of possible interpretations. And sometimes those assumptions may be wrong, or what's happening in the world is not expected. So, you could say, well, we see well, we'll see details. I mean, you're not wandering around seeing blur videos or blur world. So now I'm going to show you a picture. You will have 10 seconds, just a normal image. Just look at it, okay? Explore the image for 10 seconds. So it's a city from my hometown in France. Did you notice anything bizarre? Yes?
The building changed.
The building changed. Did you all see the building vanishing away? No. Normally, no. What is it talking about? Well, let's have another look. So, now, the second time. But remember the first time most of you were just blind to what was going on in front of your eyes. Here are all the changes. So maybe you saw the building, but this was 10 seconds. 10 seconds is a long time. And here are all the changes that happened in front of your eyes. You had the shops, the wall building, people came in, out, some colors and some light. This is a normal way. It is normal if you did not catch anything, all right? And for those of you, here is again. So, the human brain is an extremely powerful machine, but also sometimes very fragile. And work in the Department of Brain and Cognitive Science and from the cognitive science scientists try to understand when the brain works well and when it fails. And there's something that we are very good at. We recognize the world immediately. We impose an interpretation from your memory, and then you're a little stuck in this first impression. So if things that you're not expecting are happening in front of your eyes, there's a chance you will not notice them. That's just the way the brain works. There's just too much to see, so it needs to kind of cut down the interpretation. And most often, it will be the object or the details that you will be missing. But wait, are we that blind? Well, let me show you a demo that you're not experiencing in the real world. Maybe sometimes if you watch TV and really you have somebody like changing the channels all the time. But here the speed of changing the images one after the other is really very high. So be ready. You're going to see a very fast stream of pictures. All right? And I want you to clap your hand if you see a cat. All right? So it's a stream of pictures as if somebody was changing very fast the channel on TV. You don't know what's coming next. All right? When or if you see a cat, clap your hand. Ready? Oops. Everybody saw the cat. So, there's a little paradox here, but it makes sense in the way the brain wants to see the world. Meaning come first. You expect a cat before you had a clear street that seems to be static. The details might be gone, but there's enough that is grasped to see the interpretation. So, vision is nothing without knowledge and without memory. You could recognize the cat because you know how a cat looked like. You had no idea how the cat was, I don't know, like the color, the size. No problem, you saw the cat. However, you have a lot of knowledge of the cat. So, something very important, and this is one of the main components of vision, is memory. After you have seen something, how good is your memory 1 second, 10 seconds later of what you have seen? So I'm going to show you 10 photographs, and then we do a memory test, okay? The image will show for about half a second each. All right. So let's do the test now. If you have seen the image, you clap your hands once. If you have not seen it, you do nothing. Let's go. Good. Excellent. Yes. Yes. Excellent. Yes. That's fine. It's normal. Oh, breakfast. Yes. But you did not notice that this image, that indeed was in the stream, was left, right, reversed. Okay, not a big deal. And this is perfectly normal. One of the abilities of the human brain is to see meaning at a glance, remember a lot of information, but left, right is kind of fuzzy. Let's do again a visual memory demonstration. It's exactly the same idea. The pictures are black and white, but it doesn't change the interpretation and the demonstration. All right? Again, about half a second each. Put all those pictures into memory. So, this looks fast. However, this is the time your eye, on average, spend looking at something in the world. Your eye moves very fast, 2 or 3 times a second. And even here, that was actually more close to a second. All right, those memories. So if you have seen the picture, clap your hands once. No, again? Good. No. 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 Yes, yeah. You kind of have a feeling of certainty. Sorry. All right. Okay, I trick you here a little. However, in the world, you're faced with a lot of those situations. You have seen the green pictures. You were tested with the red one. They look alike, I agree. They share the same structure, the same meaning, the same space volume, even the same localization of objects. But they don't share exactly the same object. And actually, if you start spending some time looking at them, they can be quite different. Even the kitchen at the bottom is actually another room at the top with a different interpretation. But what makes you believe they were the same is because we choose the pictures at test so that they were resembling in the layout and the 3D structure and the quantity of objects and details. So, again, you remember a lot. You have a very good memory, but a few seconds later, some information memory may be gone. Even something's happening in front of your eyes may not enter your consciousness. So let's go now to the quest of creating images with multiple meanings. And this is an area of research that is very, very important for brain scientists and also for Museum of Arts, who can show you demonstration by changing what you expect in a display. And because what happened is you're facing the world always in interpreting what's going on. So if we show you display that go from 2D to 3D, or when they move from in a 3D space, like if you're looking at an holographic display and you're moving around, sometimes the image can change interpretation. This is something unexpected, something a little different. And for you, it's perfectly normal, it's cool, you will see everything that's going on, you will see it in 3D, or you will see the new interpretation. But there are some brain disorders that lack this linking of interpretation going on with two events going one after the other, or lack some of the fundamental image processing grouping that we do naturally every day. So here I have a series of demonstrations that are based on the hybrid images illusion that we use actually to look at how the brain forms pictures and how brain that have some deficit work with those new images or those new interpretations to make. So Albert Einstein is going to be transformed into Marilyn Monroe. Ideally, you should like look from close up to the display over there and step back until you see the over interpretation. Just here as a simulation, I'm going to change the size of the picture. If it doesn't work here, you can play later with the display. Something else, you can remove your glasses or squint your eyes. But basically, when you're stepping away from those type of display that have more interpretation to interpretation here, you should see Marilyn Monroe. Squint your eyes, and then details comes back. This is the same image that has changed the size. It's better that you play later on with the display over there. So here, hybrid images are a method that we can use to study some of the mechanism of the brain that are totally normal and straightforward for you, but maybe disoriented, maybe weakened when there's some specific brain disease. And we build them, I'm going to tell you a little bit how we do, but it's, the basic idea is to put together two different interpretations, and depending on the viewing distance, you might not see the same. So here will be Albert Einstein transformed into Marilyn Monroe, and you have eight other people over there. So what you see depends on the distance at which you look at the image. So that's one of the first principles. You see something, then you have to change your mind and see something else. Florissant, an angry man from far away. Closer view, a woman. So in the faces of the woman at larger size, if you really squint your eyes or go far away, you will see the angry man. So you can create visual illusions that have two or more meanings. Here's another demonstration, a little more subtle, but when you're used to it, and we have seen several of those, then people have no problem changing their mind and seeing the second interpretation. So this girl is going to switch from sad to surprised, all right? Here she is, happy or surprised, okay? If you see it, good. If you don't see it, it's still normal, okay? You might have to, you know, play with those experiences. And also, it really depends on your distance from the screen. So this is exactly the same pictures that we can build up so that there are two interpretations, from sad to surprise. If you squint your eyes onto those images, I hope you're able to see her. Believe me, this is not a cat. Do you all see a cat? Yes. All right. You might have to go outside this time to see the other interpretation. But this is not only a cat. Or if your system, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in a few minutes, is just tuned to the other components that are hidden in this picture, it's actually a little dog. So here in the middle is an image that looks normal. Looks to most of you of a cat. However, if you start squinting your eyes, or if I really reduce the size, you see that the form of the cat are transformed into a dog. And on the left and the right, you have the two images that we used in order to compose that hybrid image. For those of you that are that know about spatial frequency and image processing, the basis of building those images that sometimes can really look like real photography but have different interpretation is based on the component of low and high spatial frequency, or details that how your brain segments the images in different form and how we put them together. So we manipulate those images so that we can know what you're going to see depending on the distance. And another mechanism at play that we can put into evidence with those type of illusion is the fact that, okay, right now, an image is transformed into another. But another mechanism that the brain is using, and this is all unconscious to you, but a mechanism that is weakened when for some brain diseases, is this notion of perceptual grouping, which is that you see a world, but your brain has to put all the elements together. So here, maybe most of you, except people in the back, but it's very clear for me, I see a bike, and there is a wall, and there are some shadows. Do you agree with me, at least some of you, that there is cast shadows? And because I interpret this those shadows as cast shadows, then it's very clear, okay, you have this bike in front of the wall. But actually, if you will look at this image from far away, or if you will, for any reason, have the ability to group features together weakened, then you might see that it's actually a motorcycle. So it's close by in semantic, but it is another interpretation of the image. And the shadows become something else. They are grouped into another object. So here are, again, double hybrid images that we are actually using in laboratory because it's nice, it's cool to do illusion with Marilyn Monroe or some nice images for a demonstration like today. But when you work in a laboratory, and you show those pictures to people, you want to really very well master exactly the quantity of information and what's going to happen. You want to be sure that everybody is going to see the same interpretation depending on the distance or depending on what a person has to do. So to me, those two faces look the same. Do you see a woman with a neutral emotion, a little ghostly? But they do look the same. Maybe they don't look the same to you because you're far, far away, but actually, behind those faces, those really cast shadows are hidden. The faces of a man that has an angry expression on the left and a more happy or positive expression on your right. So those ghost pictures are inserted behind the images at the top. And most of us will be able, depending on the distance, the contrast, to go from one interpretation to the other. However, some research we have done in collaboration with people who are working with patient population that have autism or schizophrenia, we can see that they have a kind of reluctance to change interpretation, like to move up from one interpretation to the other one, and to basically integrate the new features, the new details into the original image, and then change their mind. So what I've shown you today with a series of demonstration and some of the illusion has capitalized on the fact that there's a lot of brain mechanism that we can study and have a good idea of how they work in normal situations by transforming the visual world in unexpected ways. And I believe that this and new visualization display that will show the world in three dimensions, such as the holographic display, and add the possibility to change interpretation when you move from one side to the other side of the pictures and start playing with the spatial frequency and the hybrid principle, even in holographic display, can provide powerful tool to create images where we can control the world and understand better how the brain sees and understands the world when it is normal or when it is weakened. And there are two central cognitive processes that are a little disturbed, more or less, in autism and schizophrenia, for instance, is the central coherence, which is how the visual world is integrated into a meaningful whole. And some of the demonstrations today have shown this. You were able to switch from the bicycle to the motorcycle or from one face to another emotion. So this mechanism is something that usually works well. And selective attention, which is where you decide to pay attention. Selective attention is not very good even for all of us because you could not see what was going on into the demonstration of this video of the street that was disappearing. So those two mechanisms can be studied with new visualization display, and it's my hope that we could move on into integrating those new tools into the study of the brain that my colleague and myself are doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Maybe we could have the, light is back, even without asking for it. We have a few minutes once again for questions for Aude, so please use the microphone if you'd like to. Do I see a hand? Yes, right in the front.
Just curious, do you have any specific examples of how a person with autism or schizophrenia would see an image? I mean, what is it that they tend not to see that maybe people with more in the normal scale see? I mean, I'm just curious about some specific examples if
yes.
you have any.
So one of the things I did not explain, but I'm going to give you a few explanations now, is the fact that those perceptions, we can really manipulate what you see when we change the presentation time, all right? So, because we know that if we change the presentation time to something like half a second instead of like a few seconds looking at them, well, we have some ideas of the first group of mechanism going, like you see the wall, and the details we know comes later for all of us. So When we use the example at the top, which was really the example we use in a study with patients that had schizophrenia, and another group used them for a teenager that had some autism disorder. The first impression was always based on the lower, on the blur part. Okay, so when we will see the details and the neutral woman, for instance, for half a second, they will still see the angry man beside, or when they will still see the sober interpretation that is hidden. And with more time, they will integrate the overinterpretation and be able to change their mind. But everything was slowed down in time for the specific study we did. So, which indicate that some of the essential mechanism of putting things together might be weakened with those disorders. So if, I hope this answers your question.
Thank you. We have another one.
Yeah. Yes.
Linda Law, I'm fascinated by what you've presented today, particularly in how I feel it relates to holographic displays.
Yeah.
And given the new systems that are becoming available for us as artists to work with, you have about 8 seconds of animation time to work with.
Yes.
I'm curious how you see yourselves exploring that. I mean, you've given me a lot of ideas today,
mm-hmm.
and
yes.
because this is something that's in my mind all the mm-hmm. time right now. But I'm very curious to see how much further you've gone in terms of thinking through those next stages.
Yes. So, to me, an hologram is this ghostly but precise image at the same time. So, you see an image, but your brain can cut it into several parts and components. Like in the hybrid, here you have two different interpretations. So now you could go into a world where there might be four different interpretations, which is that with the holography, you can create an image, this ghostly image, that seems to go out in 3D, and if you change viewpoint, may change interpretation, may show something else. But within the image, you can also add those spatial frequency differences, which will give, in theory, an image where you could see something, then something else, and then you move back, and you will see a third and a fourth interpretation. So that will give the notion, that will expand the richness of seeing within a single dimension in space, which is, I don't know, magical somewhere. You have one object, and you're moving between three or four or five or six different interpretations, depending on the distance. So I would add the decomposition of spatial frequency and the knowledge we have in perceptual grouping into the holographic display to give more rich representation of the world. And what's happening is that to most of us, we might find this interesting or, oh, sweet. However, it starts being a lot of mechanism at the same play that are unexpected. And I'm also wondering if this is a way to understand better what's going on when the brain is weakened. When some of the interpretation are just gone, you're not getting on them, or you're missing them, or you're disturbed by them.
I think maybe one more question, and then we're going to have to move on. I apologize. Yes, please.
Leela Kenny, I have a question from the legal domain, and then if we don't have time from...
Yeah, go ahead.
If we do have time from art.
Yeah.
So lawyers know that eyewitness accounts are notoriously unreliable, and yet they're used all the time in trials. Do you think there's an historical reason? In other words, is it the evolution of the understanding of vision at one time being thought to be more stable that has created this use of, you know, visual evidence as evidentiary in court? Have you ever been called as an expert witness, and can you anticipate trial proceedings changing as
yeah,
a result
no.
of
so,
some of this knowledge?
So I've not been called an expert, but you know, here you see blurry picture, and you may think, well, I never see blurry picture. You see blurry picture all the time, simply by looking at something far away. So when you look at a phase one event happening from far away, what your system sees are this level of blurriness, this level of coarseness. And in that case, it's like the first movie. You interpret the world because you don't have the details. So you're putting your knowledge and your interpretation on top of it. And this is something that happens. You saw it with this movie that was here to make you laugh and show you what your brain was doing. But this is a reality when you're very far away from something happening. And the second aspect is, if there is any emotion involved in seeing an event, there can be two antagonist effects. You forget it, or you fix better the details and transform them. So emotion add to your memory much more memory or much worse memory, but certainly move away from the normal range.
Well, I would thank you very much indeed for this.